All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league. All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league.
The following is a HoopBall presentation.
Welcome in, HoopBallers, to another box score breakdown on Thursday evening. I am your host, David Bracey, alongside my co-host, Chris. How are you, man? Happy New Year.
I'm doing well, David. Happy New Year to you, too, and to all of our listeners out there, as I believe this is the first chance I will get to talk to everybody since the New Year.
Yeah, absolutely. We're back at it again, ready to get this new decade started out on a high note. Had a pretty big card tonight for a Thursday. Had, what does it look like here?
Nine games.
Yeah.
We don't get that very often on Thursday, so
let's get to it. Yeah, let's get it. All right, well, we can start off the first game here between the Hornets and the Cavaliers. Pretty competitive game tonight. Oh, I get my computer. I apologize. Pretty competitive game tonight here. Miles Bridges got the start, 22 minutes, 6 points on 2 of 10 from the field, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds and assist. Pretty pedestrian line for Miles Bridges tonight, given the opportunity. So we'll see if he can start to produce more consistently. But the guy who I think you really want to own on the wing here, PJ Washington, and he looked pretty great tonight. 35 minutes, 14 points on 6 of 14 from the field, had a 3, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, no defensive stats, and 2 turnovers. So he's really been given all the minutes and all the opportunity here. And in that brief absence in his injury, they've really ramped him up and gotten him right back to it. So I'm loving PJ. Bismack starting at center, 23 minutes. I wish it was 23 points. 8 points, 4 of 7 from the field, 6 rebounds, no defensive stats, and no turnovers.
Devontae Graham, 41 minutes tonight, so really, really carrying the load. 16 points on 3 of 8 from the field. Kind of struggled, but did chip in 3 3-pointers. Perfect 7-7 from the free throw line. 1 rebound, 11 assists, 4 turnovers, and a steal. And then Terry Rozier, the high-scoring man for the Hornets tonight. 38 minutes to go with 30 points on 11 of 22 from the field. Chipped in 6 3-pointers. I mean, making it rain tonight. 2 of 3 from the free throw line. 6 rebounds, 3 assists. A steal and 2 turnovers. Off the bench, the only guys really worth note, I would say Dwayne Bacon got 28 minutes for only 15 points and 5 of 9 from the field, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and no turnovers. And then Zeller, 19 minutes, 11 points on 3 of 4 from the field, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, no defensive stats, and 3 turnovers. Off the bench, Dwayne Bacon is going to be given the opportunity. I told you we kind of spoke last week about the minutes share between him and Malik Monk, and Charlotte really just looking for somebody to produce. So I think Dwayne Bacon's probably going to be the more consistent option. He's really only going to benefit your team in points. He's going to chip in threes every once in a while. But Cody Zeller isn't a guy who I think that really merits a whole lot of ownership. Clearly, he's not even getting the start over Biyombo, and we know Biyombo's fantasy value. So take that for what you will. Any thoughts about the Charlotte Hornets, Chris?
No, I think you pretty much covered it. I think you brought it up. PJ is the guy to watch there on the front court, on the forwards front. Bridges, I don't know. I hope he can do better, but like the way I see it, this year just might not be the year. Like beginning of the year, I think we're going in thinking Miles Bridges is gonna pop off with his athleticism and all that, but just the shots are just not there. So unfortunately, I don't think this year would be good for him. I've dropped him from a couple of my teams for some hot pickups, and he hasn't made me regret yet.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. I really don't. What do you see on the Cleveland side of things?
So the Cleveland side of things, Kevin Love did his thing. He had 18 points and to go with 8 rebounds in 31 minutes. Chetty Osman had a very efficient shooting game, scoring 17 points on 7 of 8 shooting, had 3 3-pointers, and but very little elsewhere, 1 rebound, 2 assists, and 1 steal. Leading all scores was Colin Sexton with 21 points on 8 of 17 shooting, pretty efficient for his standards, and had 4 3-pointers, but just like Osman, very little elsewhere. 1 rebound, 2 assists, 1 steal, and he had 4 turnovers. 2 assists, that's a 0.5 assist to turnover ratio. That's horrible. it's a nice showing from their other guard, Darius Garland. 14 points, 5 of 12 shooting, 3 3-pointers. I'm very happy to see the 8 assists, but I don't know if he can keep this up. His assist just comes and goes, but at least he does dish out some comparing to Sexton. other than that, coming off the bench, Larry Nance Jr. was very disappointing, only had 2 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, but did have 2 steals. So I guess that kind of floated his line a bit. John Hanson had 10 points, but no blocks, which is kind of what I wanted out of John Hanson. Kevin Porter Jr. had 24 points off the bench. 9 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. Nothing too exciting there. So yeah, like I think Garland is slowly kind of turning around. Like, I mean, it's really hard for these rookies to come in and take the point guard spot because that's one of the hardest positions to take on. Like, with all the playmaking and all that. So like the shooting has been horrible, but I think it's slowly getting better and better. So I don't know. I don't know what your takes is on Garland. Do you think he might trend up even more in the second half?
I think there's definitely a possibility for Garland's value to kind of spike on the second half, just because Cleveland is going nowhere in a hurry, and I don't see why they wouldn't take the opportunity to really push minutes for guys and try to develop all their young talent, because at this point, I mean, what else is it other than just a project? Because they have no playoff potential whatsoever, which I don't think is an alarming thing to say about the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah. And, and like I was saying, these point guards, they're rookie point guards. They start off slow. Like last year, like I'm pretty sure our listeners out there, you have leagues where Trae Young was dropped after his horrible showing in the first half. And he just completely turned it around. And now he's a top 30 player. Right. So keep an eye on Garland. Not telling you to like having to go out there, rush out there to grab him, but keep an eye on him.
Yeah, I agree. All right, on to the second game. Denver Nuggets taking on the Indiana Pacers. On the Nuggets side of the ball, Gary Harris was back in the lineup, got 36 minutes tonight for 12 points on 4-6 from the field, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, and 4 turnovers. High turnover volume tonight for Gary Harris, but pretty solid line. Interested to see if he can remain consistent and healthy in the lineup when he is both of those things. He's definitely a very, very valuable fantasy asset, so we'll just wait and see. Paul Millsap, 27 minutes, only 6 points, 9 of 2 of 7 from the field, 7 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals, and a turnover. So pretty quiet line for Millsap tonight. Jokic, 24 minutes, 22 points, 7 of 15 from the field, 8 of 8 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds, no defensive stats, no assists, surprisingly, and 2 turnovers. So surprising he didn't get a lot of assists or any at all out of Jokic tonight, but pretty solid line. 22 points in 24 minutes definitely isn't something you're going to complain about on 7-15 from the field. Will Barton looking really, really strong. I mean, the guy's been killing it, blasting out that ADP. 32 minutes, 16 points on 4-12 in the field, chipped in a 3, was 7-8 from the free throw line, which is really strong. 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and only 1 turnover. And then Jamal Murray at the point guard, 37 minutes, 22 points on 8 of 18 from the field. Gave you 2 threes tonight, perfect 4-4 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, and no turnovers. The big line of the night was Michael Porter Jr. off the bench, 22 minutes for 25 points and 11-12 from the field, which is just blistering. Gave you 2 threes, 5 rebounds, an assist, no defensive stats, only 1 turnover. Porter Jr. is a guy who's had a couple pretty solid games as of late. Definitely somebody who I think merits ownership in a 12-team league, 12-team setting, just because of the potential. We know this Nuggets team is very, very deep talent-wise, but we know that they value Porter Jr. and they have every incentive to play him and kind of get him developed because he could be a very, very valuable asset to their team. They're kind of lacking another perimeter scorer with the inconsistency out of Gary Harris and Will Barton's volatility. So definitely Michael Porter Jr., a guy I think that you're going to want to keep your eyes on. Very, very talented player, young player, and could be big in the second half. Any thoughts on the Denver Nuggets?
I think you nailed it. One thing, just want to point out, Paul Millsap and his like position partner Jeremy Grant, I just wouldn't be touching those guys in standard 12-team leagues. I don't know who's playing, who's gonna have a good game, which day, and today neither of them had a good game. So yeah, just leave those guys alone.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. All right. So on to the Indiana side. Leading the way in scoring is Jeremy Lamb. He had 30 points on 9 of 13 shooting, was 5 of 5 from downtown, and 7 of 7 on the free throw line. And also chipped in with 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. And TJ Warren, the other big scoring punch guy from Indiana, also had 20 points on 8 of 15 shooting, with 2 3-pointers, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. Miles Turner had 21 points on 7 of 13 shooting, only 1 of 5 from downtown, had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 block. Kind of wanted to see more blocks, but at least the points were there, and he played 35 minutes, which is, I'm happy to see that despite the kind of foul trouble he was in. He had 5 fouls tonight. On Miles Turner, I think this is only his third time playing more than 30 minutes in the past 10 games. So I'm really hoping the minutes will trend up. But I don't know what Indiana is doing. What the coaching staff is doing there. They're trying to stagger Sabonis and Turner, and Turner just winds up getting less minutes or whatnot. I really don't know. I hope they give him more minutes, because if he gets the minutes, the production is going to be there. Now, his front court mate, Sabonis, had 18 points and 9 rebounds, also had 9 assists, 2 steals, and a block. So a very good showing from Sabonis. High efficient, 8 of 12 shooting. Brogdon was out, so Aaron Holiday got the start. I think he was in a bit of a foul trouble, so his scoring was down, only 6 points tonight, but he dish out 10 assists, so that was good to see. Aaron Holiday is definitely a hold while Brogdon is out, and I believe he will even have value when Brogdon comes back. Now, with him in foul trouble, McConnell played actually more minutes than Holiday, had 8 points, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists, and chipped in 1 steal. His brother Justin Holiday there had 6 points on 2 of 6 shooting, all of them from downtown, 2 rebounds, 1 steal, and a block. And yeah, I think that's all the interesting ones from Indiana. Yeah. Any takes from you?
No, I agree with you. I am glad to see Miles Turner producing somewhat consistently, but you know, you do definitely wish that you were getting a little bit higher block volume out of him. But like you say, you know, you're not going to complain. It was a pretty strong showing from him tonight. So yeah, and then definitely a big fan of Jeremy Lamb. I think even when Brogdon comes back, he's going to be able to maintain a lot of his value. So pretty strong showing from him tonight.
Oh yeah.
All right, heading into the third game, Toronto Raptors taking on the Miami Heat tonight. 76-84, the final score in favor of the Heat. On the Raptors side of the ball, OG Anunoby got 36 minutes for 12 points on 5-12 from the field. Had 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, no blocks, and 2 turnovers. So a strong double-double tonight from OG. Definitely a fan. He's going to get all the minutes and opportunity, given the fact that we've got Siakam out of the lineup, Gasol out of the lineup, Norman Powell out of the lineup. I mean, the Raptors are really hurting right now, so they need all the OG they can handle. Patrick McCall starting at our power forward tonight, 27 minutes, only 3 points on 1 of 8 from the field, 1 rebound, 1 assist, no defensive stats. As I said, I thought he was going to come back to reality. Not a whole lot of value here for McCall, and we're seeing it. When Norman Powell comes back, I'm assuming pretty much all of that value is just going to completely fall off of a cliff. So McCall is somebody who you can safely drop if you were holding on to him. And then Serge Ibaka starting at center, 34 minutes for 19 points on 9 of 21 from the field. So really getting that shot up tonight. 10 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 turnovers, no assists, and no steals. Strong line from Ibaka. Continued to play well in the front court for the Raptors. Kyle Lowry starting at the off guard, 40 minutes, 15 points on 4, 16 from the field, chipped in 2 3-pointers, 5 of 6 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, a block, and only 1 turnover. Really strong line from Lowry tonight. And then FVV starting at the point guard, 38 minutes, 7 points on 3, 16 from the field, gave you a 3, chipped in 4 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, no blocks, and only 1 turnover. Only other guy of note, RHJ, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, got 29 minutes off the bench tonight for 13 points on 4 of 8 from the field, chipped in 7 rebounds, an assist, a steal, a block, and two turnovers. So it looks like he has firmly solidified himself as the guy in front of Boucher, and all Boucher's value is definitely kind of, safe to say, evaporating. I think completely evaporated already. Boucher did get 13 minutes tonight, but he only gave you 2 points on one attempt from the field, a steal, and two blocks. So given the minutes, definitely not going to complain about two blocks and one steal, but I don't think it's a guy who you really need to be holding on and rostering too heavily. Any thoughts about the injured Raptors tonight?
I agree with you. Boucher did have 8 rebounds, so not too bad a showing, but he's just not the guy you want there. With Ibaka taking most of that center minutes. And looking at the score, I think you can figure it out. It's just a bad shooting night from both sides. I think Laurie and Van Fleet combined for 3 of 23 from downtown. That tells you the story.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a rock fight tonight.
Yeah. So on the Miami side, the leading the way is Bam Adebayo. Very efficient 7 of 8 shooting for 15 points to go with 14 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. All of that damage in 35 minutes. Jimmy Butler then had a bad shooting night, only 2 of 10, but he chipped in elsewhere with 12 rebounds and 7 assists and 2 steals. The rest of the starting squad, Myers Leonard, Kendrick Nunn, Robinson didn't have their shots tonight. Like Leonard had 8 points on 3 of 7 shooting. Kendrick Nunn was horrible from the field, 3 of 14 for only 7 points. He did chip in with 9 assists, so that's good. Duncan Robinson only played 18 minutes and had 6 points, both of them sinking. Both of his shots from downtown, 2 of 3 from downtown, actually, with 4 rebounds and an assist. So it was the coming off the bench. Tyler Hero had 13 points on 5 of 10 shooting, with 3 three-pointers, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. Derek Jones Jr. also chipped in with 10 on 4 of 13 shooting. 2 three-pointers, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block. And Goran Dragic also had 13 points, 3 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and a block. That's pretty much it from Miami. Like, they probably wouldn't have won this game if the bench didn't provide those scoring. So, yep, that's pretty much the tale of the game. Any interesting takes on the Miami side for me?
No, I think you pretty much covered it. And like you said, I mean, both teams kind of struggled from the field tonight. I believe the Heat held the Raptors to was like 32% from the field. So, yeah, just, I mean, abysmal, 15% from the three-point line. I mean, just really, really, like I said, a rock fight. So take the line tonight for what you will. You know where the value lies on both of those teams and what their current situations are. So, yeah, heading into the next game, Utah Jazz, we're at the United Center tonight, taking on the Bulls, got the win 102-98. On the Jazz side of the ball, of course, they were still without Mike Conley, but they ended up pulling out the win. Bohan Bogdanovic had 33 minutes tonight for 19 points and 5 of 13 from the field. No three-pointers, but a perfect 9-9 from the free throw line. Gave you 6 rebounds, an assist, a steal, and 5 turnovers. So you could have done without the turnovers tonight, but a pretty good line from Bogdanovic. Royce O'Neal, 28 minutes for 5 points on 2 of 4 from the field. Gave you a 3 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and 2 turnovers. O'Neal is a guy who can kind of pitch in moderately across the board when given the opportunity. Rudy Gobert, 35 minutes, 17 points on 8 of 11 from the field. Really strong from Gobert tonight. 12 rebounds, 3 blocks, and only 2 turnovers. 1-2 from the free throw line isn't totally terrible. You'll definitely take that strong double-double tonight from Rudy. Jingling Joe continuing to get the minutes and producing with Mike Conley being out of the lineup. 34 minutes, 8 points and 3 of 9 from the field, chipped in 2 3-pointers, 5 rebounds, 10 assists, a block, and no turnovers. And then the Don, Spider Mitchell, 37 minutes, 17 points on 6 of 14 from the field, gave you 2 threes, a perfect 3 of 3 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, no defensive stats, and 5 turnovers. So definitely playing with some pace tonight in the United Center. The game kind of got sloppy at the end there. But as I said, the Jazz were able to come out with the win. Two guys of note off the bench tonight. Jordan Clarkson, obviously the newest addition to the Jazz. Really, they brought him in to deliver that scoring. And he scored pretty well tonight. I mean, 12 points on 3 of 8 from the field isn't terrible. Gave you 3 3-pointers tonight, 3 rebounds. And then, of course, no defensive stats, but that's not really what we expect out of Clarkson. And then George Niang off the bench played really well tonight. Had a couple big shots down the stretch there to kind of help seal the deal for the Jazz. 17 minutes, 11 points on 4 of 7 from the field, 3 3-pointers, 1 rebound, 1 steal, and no turnovers. Outside of that, not a whole lot to discuss on the Jazz. As I said, Mike Conley's out of lineup. Hopefully he will be back soon, but upon his return, we still don't really know what player we're going to be getting. So that is a definite wait and see. I know he's been dropped in several leagues and I'm in. Personally, I think that he's a firm hold just because if he's still on your roster, you've kept him for this long. So you might as well. And if he has been dropped, he's definitely a guy who I would have some interest in picking up if I have some filler that I can kind of drop off of my roster. Any thoughts from you on the Jazz or Mike Conley?
No, I think he got it covered. And I think Jazz is one of the more predictable teams. We know where the numbers will be coming from, and they're pretty steady. So, yeah. Now, on to the Chicago side. So, Chicago tonight is a Zach LaVine show. He took a whopping 26 shots, making only 9 of them. For 26 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, and a block. With 3 3-pointers. And also doing the scoring is Lauri Markkanen, who had 18 points on 6 of 16 shooting with 4 3-pointers, had 8 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Wendell Carter Jr. had a good game, had a double-double, 18 points on efficient 7 of 12 shooting, had 13 rebounds with 4 assists, but no defensive stats. So wish we could get a little more there. The three-headed point guard in from Chicago was meh tonight. Saransky had 8 points on 3 of 7 shooting, had 4 assists and 2 steals. Chris Dunn only had 5 points, but contributed across the board, had 8 rebounds with 4 assists and a block. And Kobe White, he's a scorer, but the shot wasn't there tonight. He has 6 points off the bench on 3 of 11 shooting, no threes, chipped in with 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. Other notables from the bench, there are none. Maybe Thad Young and Gaffer, who got 15 and 12 minutes respectively, and chipped in with 5 points apiece. That's it. That's it on the Chicago side. Yeah.
And I agree with your point as well on the point guard situation in Chicago kind of being a calamity at this point. I definitely think of the three shadows, probably the guy that you are more comfortable owning, even though Dunn definitely does merit some ownership given his ability to produce and contribute kind of across the board, even if it is inconsistently, and more so specifically from a defensive perspective. So, yeah, I agree with your points on that. All right, rolling into the next game here. The Warriors lost, unsurprisingly, to the Timberwolves, kind of surprisingly, 84-99. On the Warriors' side of the ball, of course, they were without Steph Curry, without Klay Thompson, and without D'Angelo Russell tonight. Glenn Robinson, 31 minutes for 16 points on 7 of 14 from the field. Gave you a 3, 6 rebounds and assists, no defensive stats, and only 1 turnover. Draymond Green, 22 minutes tonight, 2 points on 1 of 4 from the field. Gave you 3 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, and only 1 turnover. Marquese Chriss, 22 minutes, 6 points on 3 of 6 from the field, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, a block and no turnovers. Damian Lee, 27 minutes tonight, 10 points on 4 of 11 from the field, no 3-pointers, but gave you 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 4 turnovers. And then Alec Burks at point guard, 22 minutes, 7 points on 3 of 5 from the field, 3 rebounds, an assist, a steal, and 4 turnovers. So tonight, I mean, the Warriors were really struggling to put the ball in the hole. Off the bench, Pascal had 13 points on 6 of 14 from the field with 7 rebounds and 2 turnovers. Omari Spellman got 21 minutes for 10 points and 5 rebounds on 3 or 4 from the field. But the highest scorer in this game for the Warriors was Glenn Robinson with 16 points. So, as I said, really, really struggling to get the ball in the hole tonight for the Warriors. Without D'Angelo Russell, didn't have a whole lot of scoring punch, and the minute totals were pretty low for everybody. The only guy to get over 30 minutes was, as I said, Glenn Robinson. So take these lines for what you will. We know that the Warriors right now are kind of fantasy roulette, if you will. Damian Lee is a guy who I definitely think merits ownership. If he's still somehow available in your league, go ahead and pick him up. Outside of that, there's not a whole lot of value here for these fringy kind of guys. Do you really see anything of note on the Warriors side of the ball, Chris?
No, I was going to mention Damian Lee, although this is not the best game, but he should get his looks like they are willing to give him the playing time. So should have better games than this. But of course, don't be expecting some of those monster games he was putting up last week. And yeah, like you said, it's just a crapshoot with Golden State with rotation. Yeah, no, I think you pretty much covered it. Yeah. So on to the Minnesota side, Cat, Wiggins, and Teague were all out, but they were going up against Golden State, so they pulled out the win. Leading the way is Robert Covington and Shabazz Napier with 20 points apiece. Covington had a very good game, 8 of 15 shooting with 4 three-pointers, and also chipped in with 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And Shabazz Napier had a very efficient shooting night, 7 of 9 from the field, 2 of 4 from downtown, had 3 rebounds and 7 assists, and also chipped in with 2 steals and a block. Now, filling in was Gorgie Jan filling in for Cat. Had a relatively quiet game, but he's been playing well, so if he's out there, go grab him, stream him while Cat is sitting. And honestly, I don't know how much longer Cat's going to be out, but there's news that Cat, he's not happy with Minnesota, so who knows. Keep riding Jen until the wheels fall off, I guess. So he only has 6 points tonight on 3 of 6 shooting to go with 5 rebounds, but did have a block. And filling in at the forward spot was, I believe, Kellen Martin. Hope I didn't butcher his name there. He had 12 points on 4 of 12 shooting with 8 rebounds and an assist. And at the other starting guard spot was Jared Culver, who had a horrible shooting game, 4 of 14 from the field, 1 of 8 from downtown, to give you 10 points, 5 rebounds, and 1 assist and 1 steal. Let's take a look at coming off the bench. We have Josh Okogie chipping in with 7 points, 5 rebounds and 3 assists, 1 steal and 1 block. He's one of those guys that will give you contributions across the board, but the minutes so far is quite up and down. If you're in a deeper league, I believe he should be owned. Like in a 14-team, 16-team league, he should be owned. Like the production will be there, but although kind of marginal production, but you should get some production every night. And Kate Bates Jopp had 9 points with 4 rebounds and a block. And Naz Reid had 13 points on 5 of 11 shooting with three pointers, 6 rebounds, an assist, and a block. That's pretty much it from the Minnesota side. Anything interesting that you see here?
No, I think you pretty much covered it. I like your point about riding the wagon to the wheels fall off with Yang. Because, yeah, like you said, remains to be seen what's going on with Towns. We know that he has been doing some on-court work and kind of been ramping up his activities leading up to what we hope is going to be an inevitable return. But there is some speculation, and we do kind of wonder what's going on in Minnesota. So definitely a situation to monitor. And I think Gorgui Dieng is definitely a guy who definitely merits ownership for the short term and what could end up being a long term. So I guess we'll just wait and see. All right. Before we head into our next game here, I want to take a quick break just to let all of our listeners know about MyBookie. The holidays have come and gone, but the Super Bowl is quickly approaching. We've seen just what teams are capable of this season, and now it's time to get your last bets in before the bowl. Will the Ravens get it done? Will Brady and the Patriots get themselves another ring? Let's hope not. I bet you have a feeling. Head over to mybookie.ag to make your predictions a reality. MyBookie is one of the most trusted in the industry. If you're looking for a sports book to make some bets for the bowl games, MyBookie is where you need to go. Football not your thing? Not a problem. MyBookie's got you covered. From the NBA to the NFL to the Premier League, they've got the fastest payouts, the best promotions, and a very helpful 24/7 customer service team, the triple threat. You can even pool your bets together for a bigger payout. Let's say you got a couple of big favorites this week. Parlay wagers let you bet multiple games together. And if they all come through, guess who? You win big. That's who. MyBookie has more lines and better odds for the player than any other sports book around. And you can bet on it. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000, a grand. That means if you deposit $2,000, you'll get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. And that's the best kind of money, free money. All you have to do is use our promo code BOXSCORE to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code BOXSCORE. To get your extra cash from MyBookie. MyBookie. Bet, win, get paid. All right, heading into the second half of our big Thursday slate tonight, we saw the Brooklyn Nets taking on the Dallas Mavericks, and what looked to be a committee approach from the Nets tonight, as they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 players in double figures. So let's start with starting five. Rodion Skurics got 17 minutes, 8 points on 3 of 10 from the field, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. Torian Prince, 27 minutes, 11 points on 4 of 13 from the field, 3 three-pointers, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 3 turnovers. DeAndre Jordan started the center, 22 minutes, 10 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, no turnovers, and no defensive stats. Joe Harris, 11 points on 5 of 17 from the field. Gave you 4 rebounds, 5 assists, no defensive stats, and no turnovers. Spencer Dinwiddie, 23 minutes, 19 points on 7 of 14 from the field. So actually a pretty manageable field goal percentage tonight from Dinwiddie, considering he's really been getting his shots up as of late. Gave you 2 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 turnovers, and a steal. Off the bench, Wilson Chandler got 24 minutes for 11 points and 3 rebounds. Dizan Musa, apologies for that pronunciation if I'm butchering it. 17 minutes, 14 points on 6 of 7 from the field, 3 assists. And then Theo Pinson, 24 minutes, 11 points, 5 of 13 from the field, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. As we know, the Brooklyn Nets are without Kyrie, without KD, and as most recently, without Caris LeVert. The big news tonight coming out of Brooklyn was Caris LeVert is supposed to be making his return, I believe, on Saturday. As soon as LeVert inserted back into the starting lineup, I think he's absolutely going to go crazy. For some reason, he's still available, floating around on the waiver wire, was dropped. Please correct that problem for your league. I think that he's going to have all the opportunity here. We've seen what Dinwiddie's been doing because of the lack of scoring and playmaking around him. We can only expect that as soon as LeVert is inserted back into that starting lineup, his value is absolutely going to spike out of this world. So definitely excited for LeVert to be back. Definitely excited for the Nets to have a more whole team. Hopefully Kyrie can get back healthy and back into the lineup here before the end of the month, let's say. But we know the situation with Kyrie, given his injury history, and that's definitely a situation that you're just going to have to prey on. Anything that you see of note on the Brooklyn side of the ball?
One thing to point out is DeAndre Jordan got the start tonight, but I believe Jared Allen played down the stretch, so I'm pretty sure that they were just trying to shake things up a bit, but Jared Allen would still be the center to own there. And thank you for the good news that Caris LeVert is coming back. I have one question, though. Who do you think he will hurt? Is it Joe Harris, who's been struggling? Or is it more, say, the Kuroks type of guys?
Yeah, I think it's more likely it's going to be the Kurukses, the Wilson Chandlers, guys like that who were fringy at best as far as their minutes share. I think all that's pretty much just going to evaporate because Joe Harris just provides them with some really valuable floor spacing. So I don't see them shifting his role or reducing his minutes because, I mean, outside of him, I really don't know who's going to be producing for them on a consistent basis from the three-point line. We know it's not Spencer Dinwiddie, so definitely a good point, an interesting situation to monitor. So we'll definitely see what happens.
Yeah, and like you said, if there's something LeVert can do, he can score. So expect some big numbers as soon as he shake off those rust. So on to the Dallas side. Dallas didn't... this game was pretty close until the fourth quarter when Dallas really turned it on and outscored Brooklyn 30-18. And obviously leading the way is Luka Doncic, who had 31 points on 9 of 18 shooting, was 5 of 8 from downtown, also had 13 rebounds and 7 assists, and also chipped in with a block. So another monster line from Doncic tonight. It's becoming a standard from Doncic. And the rest of the KP was out tonight, so the rest of the starting lineup is actually fairly quiet. From the center position, we had Dwight Powell, who had only 4 points on 2 of 8 shooting, and only 1 rebound and an assist. He did chip in with a steal and 2 blocks. I think he was in some foul trouble. So that's probably why the quiet line. But he's not a high usage guy, so you get what you get from him. Justin Jackson got the start with KP sitting out, but only had 8 points and chipped in with 1 3-pointers, 2 rebounds, and a block. Dorian Finney-Smith was doing his job on boards, had 8 points, 9 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block. JJ Barea got the start, but only had 10 points, 4 rebounds, and 6 assists. Now, big scoring punch off the bench tonight was Seth Curry, who scored 25 points on 9 of 13 shooting and was 5 of 5 from downtown. Also chipped in with 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and a steal. Although Justin Jackson got the start, I think it was Maxi Kleber that benefited from the fact Porzingis is out. He had 18 points on 6 of 7 shooting, had 3 three-pointers, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and also chipped in with 3 blocks. Maxi Kleber, I believe, is the guy to own here while KP is out. He's one of those guys that gives you that unicorn-ish stat set with the three-pointers and the blocks. So if you need those stats and Kleber is sitting on the wire and you have some fringy players on the back of your bench, go grab him. And other guys off the bench, everybody's favorite player, Boban. Boban had 10 points and 7 rebounds in just 12 minutes. So yeah, you gotta love that. That's it. That's it from the Dallas side.
Yeah, I definitely wonder what's going on with KP. I know that after he missed the game kind of unexpectedly, they weren't given a firm timetable on him or really a timetable at all. And they're saying that it's looking like he's a game time decision, I believe, for their upcoming game. So those two things don't exactly align. So I'm kind of wondering what's going on with KP. Definitely a situation to monitor. In your personal opinion, who would you rather own between Dwight Powell and Maxi Kleber?
For streaming, I would go with Kleber. But Powell will continue to produce even when KP is back. So, but for just the next little while KP is out, definitely stream Kleber. Yeah,
I agree.
What do you think?
I agree completely. I think Dwight Powell, rest of the season, is going to be more valuable, consistently valuable player, I should say. But Maxi Kleber in the short term definitely has the highest spike in usage and value. So definitely the guy that you're going to want to pick up and ride while you can. All right, going into the next game, the OKC Thunder got the win against the San Antonio Spurs, 109-103. Terrence Ferguson started a small forward tonight, 28 minutes, didn't do a whole lot. 2 points, 1 rebound, 2 steals, no assists. Danilo Gallinari, 29 minutes, 13 points on 5 of 15 from the field, gave you 3 three-pointers, no free throw attempts tonight, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, no defensive stats, 1 turnover. Steven Adams, the man in the middle, 29 minutes for 14 points on 5 of 8 from the field, 6 from the free throw line, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, a block, and a turnover. SGA, the hot hand of the night, 36 minutes, 25 points on 10 of 18 from the field, gave you 2 threes, 3-4 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, 2 blocks, and 1 turnover. SGA has been really hot lately and been in fuego. Definitely loving it. I think that he was a buy low option a couple weeks ago, and I think that it's definitely kind of on the flip side now, and you could possibly sell high on him. I think that he's going to have all the minutes and opportunity to continue to score in bunches. I just wonder if the rest of the production is going to kind of normalize, especially the rebound rate. The assist totals, we know that he's a very versatile guard, but as you can tell from the stat lines lately, he's really been scoring well. I've really been jumping out of the box score. So definitely see what you can get out of there. If you have an incredulous owner in your league who's a really, really big fan of SGA, maybe a Kentucky fan, float an offer, see if you can get a solid top 50, top 40 guy. But I'm an SGA owner, and I'm perfectly fine holding on him. This is the swing that I was waiting for. Because we know how talented he is. So definitely love to see that tonight. And then Chris Paul starting at point guard, 32 minutes, 16 points on 8 of 14 from the field, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 turnover, and 2 steals. Off the bench, really the only guy worth discussing, Dennis Schroeder, 32 minutes, 19 points on 6 of 14 from the field, gave you 3 three-pointers, a rebound, 3 assists, a steal, and no turnovers. And then I guess the other guy we're talking about as well, Nerlens Noel. Definitely got a lower minute total tonight, only 18 minutes, but did what he could. And I'm 6 points in 18 minutes on 2 of 4 from the field, 6 rebounds, an assist, and 2 blocks. So we know when Noel gets the minutes, he's going to get you the blocks. And even when he doesn't really get the minutes, he's still going to be able to contribute from a defensive perspective. So it remains to be seen how the situation will shake out with Steven Adams in the middle. But Noel is definitely a guy who I think has some fringy value. Any other thoughts about the OKC Thunder?
No, I think you pretty much covered it. Noel's, even with the low minutes, he's floating around top 100, top 90 value. So, yeah, but he's exclusively playing backup center. So as long as Steven Adams is there, he's not in any kind of foul trouble. Expect Noel to be in the high teens and low 20s in minutes. So this is what the value he's going to give you. I'm very happy, very excited to see SGA back from that funk he was going through. And he brought his defense back with him. So that's what's floating his value right now. Over the past 2 weeks, I believe he's like a top 10 player with the scoring off the hook and chipping in all across the board, including the defensive stats. So yeah, I think I agree. If you can get good value, this would be a good time to sell high. But I also do like him very much, so I think I'll just hold on to him and see where this takes me. So on to the San Antonio side. LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan did their thing while the rest of the Spurs was just mediocre. So let's start with DeRozan, who led all Spurs in scoring with 30 points on 13 of 25 shooting with 1 3-pointer, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, no defensive stats. LaMarcus Aldridge had 22 points, double-double with 11 rebounds, and also chipped in with 3 blocks. The rest of the starting lineup, DeJounte Murray had 9 points on 4 of 8 shooting, had 1 3-pointer, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, no defensive stats. Bryn Forbes had 1 3-pointer, and that's all he did. He had 3 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. And Trey Lyles played only 10 minutes at the center position, scoring 3 points on a single 3-pointer, just like Bryn Forbes. Coming off the bench, Lonnie Walker provided some scoring punch, has 16 points on 6 of 10 shooting, with 2 3-pointers, 7 rebounds, and an assist. And Rudy Gay had 9 points on 3 of 6 shooting, with 2 3-pointers, chipping in across the board with 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 block. The rest of the team is, like I said, just mediocre. The entire San Antonio team only had 3 players that scored in double digits, which was DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Lonnie Walker. Definitely a disappointing season for the Spurs. So, I don't know what else to say. I wish Murray had a bigger line. He's been playing okay, and I think they're set on starting him. So hold tight. He will give you rosterable, 12-team rosterable production. What are your takes on the Spurs?
I agree with you. The Spurs are the Spurs this season. They are kind of in a state of calamity. Point guard situation is interesting between Murray and White. I agree with you. I'm more of a fan of Murray personally. Remains to be seen what's going to happen with DeMar DeRozan before the trade deadline. LaMarcus Aldridge, surprisingly, has been the most consistent part of the Spurs and I've been a really, really valuable fantasy asset this season. So very, very interesting season out of San Antonio. Lots of lines and situations to monitor. So interesting. All right, heading into the second to last game here. We saw the Memphis Grizzlies lose to the Kings, 123-128. On the Memphis side of the ball, Jay Crowder got 30 minutes for 19 points and 7-15 from the field, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. No defensive stats and no turnovers. Our guy Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr., 31 minutes, 18 points on 7 of 14 from the field. Had 3 three-pointers tonight, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, no blocks, a steal, and 3 turnovers. Jonas Valanciunas, 29 minutes, 18 points on 7 of 12 from the field. Also chipped in 2 three-pointers. Perfect 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, no defensive stats, and 2 turnovers. So a really strong line from JV tonight. Dylan Brooks, starting a shooting guard, 27 minutes for 15 points and 6 of 16 from the field, 3 three-pointers, 3 assists, a steal, and a turnover. And Ja Morant, 32 minutes, 23 points and 8 of 13 from the field, 2 three-pointers, 7 assists, a rebound, and a whopping 7 turnovers. High turnover volume tonight for Morant. He's a rookie point guard, so it kind of comes to the territory. Other than that, pretty strong showing from him tonight. Off the bench, Jimmy Melton, 21 minutes, 16 points on 5 of 7 from the field, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 turnovers, and a steal. We know Melton can go really, really crazy with the defensive stats. Looks like he has kind of supplanted Tyus Jones in that backup point guard role. So if Morant is a guy who continues to kind of be sporadically out of the lineup, Melton could be a guy who you want to kind of keep an eye on. Because he definitely merits some ownership. And the only other guy worth discussing, I would say, would be Brandon Clark, who got 19 minutes tonight. Only 8 points on 3 of 5 from the field. Chipped in 6 rebounds, an assist, a turnover, and a steal. Outside of that, are you really seeing anything of note coming out of Memphis? Well, I think I lost Chris here.
Sorry, muted. So yeah, he pretty much he got it, and like you pointed out, the only thing of note here is the backup point guard situation, which I think we also had Memphis last week, and yeah, it definitely looks like Melton has leaped ahead of Tyus Jones. I'm very happy to see his line tonight, as I was streaming him today, and love this production coming out of him. Now, that's all in all a very good game from the Memphis side, but they did lose the game to the Sacramento Kings, who had a wonderful game with a contribution right across the board. So, going, let's see. We have 17 points from Harrison Barnes, who played almost 36 minutes, a very efficient 6 of 10 shooting. Chipped in with 2 three-pointers, a rebound, 3 assists, and 1 block. The other forward, Nemanja Bjelica, only had 8 points on 3 of 6 shooting, with 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and had 2 blocks, surprisingly. Rashawn Holmes, the man in the middle, was just all over the place with his defense. 18 points on 7 of 10 shooting. Has 7 rebounds and 2 blocks. He was in foul trouble late, but was able to butter Morant on a very critical possession down the stretch. So he's definitely helping the Kings out with his defense. The Cards was doing most of the scoring tonight. De'Aaron Fox had 27 points on 9 of 18 shooting. Had only 1 three-pointer, but he did have 4 rebounds, 9 assists, 5 steals, and 2 blocks. That's 7 defensive stats for you right there. The owners must be laughing. And Buddy Hield was shooting the ball well today. Had 26 points, 5 three-pointers. And also chipped in with 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and a block. Coming off the bench, Bogdan Bogdanović had a very good shooting game as well. 16 points, 7 of 15 from the field, 2 of 7 from downtown. Had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, no defensive stats. Anyone else from the Sacramento bench? Not really. Trevor Ariza got a lot of run tonight. Had 25 minutes, but didn't do much with it. 5 points, 8 rebounds, had a steal. So that's pretty much it from the Sacramento side. This was a high-scoring game. The defense, I don't know if they were just shooting well or the defense wasn't that good. The both teams shot close to 50%. So, yeah, lots of big lines. Anything you see from the Sacramento side?
No, I think we covered it.
Any news on Bagley's situation?
Yeah, so he did go to see a specialist. Again, they have not given any kind of timetable on a return for Bagley, so that's definitely concerning. I think after the first injury, there was a viable opportunity that you could kind of easily see yourself buying in on because of how talented he was. But now, given this second injury, given the fact it's a foot injury with a bigger player, these are kind of things that tend to linger. In fact, he's seeing a specialist this soon. All these are just things that I personally am not big fans of as far as ownership shares of Marvin Bagley. So, again, a situation to kind of wait and see, but hopefully we get some kind of positive news coming out of here in the next week or so.
Okay. Kind of outside of the box score, just on the injury news front, Jonathan Isaac's MRI came out, so looks like he's going to be out for an extended period of time. So for those Isaac owners out there, feel for you, man.
Yeah, and that is a rough development. I know people were kind of hoping for the best since it appeared to be a contact-based injury, so we kind of hope that maybe it wouldn't be anything too bad, but I think that they set his timetable at somewhere between 8 and 10 weeks. So yeah. If you can hold on to him until March, more power to you. If you can't and you don't have an IR spot in your league, I think this is a situation where you really have no choice but to cut bait because, I mean, that's going to make it really, really difficult for you. And unfortunately, that's the kind of guy, given the season he was having, that you're not really going to be able to replace that kind of production. I mean, he was playing on another planet this season. So you really hate to see that. You hope that he can get back sooner rather than later and we'll get back to form as well. All right, heading into the last game here. The Pistons, unsurprisingly, lost to the Clippers. The Clippers had Paul George. Paul George left the game early and did not return. On the Detroit side of the ball, however, they were, of course, without Blake Griffin. Tony Snell got 24 minutes tonight, 14 points on 6 of 10 from the field, gave you 2 3-pointers, a rebound, and an assist. Siko Dumbuya, again, apologies if I am butchering these names, 27 minutes, 10 points on 4 of 11 from the field, 11 rebounds, and a steal. So it's all double-double tonight. Andre Drummond, 26 minutes, 10 points on 3 of 10 from the field, 12 rebounds, 3 steals, a block, and 4 turnovers. We know Drummond doesn't need a whole lot of minutes and opportunity to get a good double-double in there. You love the steal rate. The Mikhailuk, 28 minutes, 14 points on 4 of 11 from the field. Gave you 2 3-pointers, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a turnover. Tim Frazier starting at point guard, 11 minutes, but absolutely no points. Complete goose egg, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 3 turnovers. Off the bench, 3 guys of note. Rick Rose, 26 minutes, 14 points on 5 of 15 from the field. 2 rebounds, 6 assists, and a turnover. Christian Wood, 24 minutes, 14 points on 4 of 7 from the field, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, and a turnover. And then Bruce Brown, 15 points, 6 of 12 from the field, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, and a steal. Derrick Rose, we know he's more of a scorer than anything else, but he's definitely been, I would say, a pretty fun guy to own this year, given that Detroit, I mean, they really don't have their point guard situation. It's been a revolving door, which brings me to this guy, Bruce Brown, who has really been playing well. Pretty undervalued, I would say. Definitely merits more ownership than he currently has, and has been contributing pretty consistently, especially from a defensive perspective. The steals category kind of helps you across the board there. And of course, Christian Wood, given the Blake Griffin injury situation, is a guy to definitely keep an eye on and monitor. Notes came out after the game tonight that they aren't at the state. They are not, according to the coach, at the situation where they feel that the Blake Griffin shutdown is something that merits discussion. But coaches will say anything, and we know the situation with Blake Griffin. Definitely a high risk for a shutdown. So Christian Wood, a guy to definitely keep an eye on. Feel free to go ahead and add him as well. I think that he's going to be valuable. Any other thoughts from the Pistons side of the ball?
Yeah, I think Bruce Brown is an interesting add there. He's really been trending up lately, playing well. So if you need a guard, definitely give him a look. And yeah, like the minutes tonight, because of it was a blowout game, so minutes is pretty high for the bench players. So we'll see how it goes. On to the Clippers side. So starters didn't play much. Paul George wasn't needed. Like you said, he exited early. He only played 15 points. But even with that, still did his damage with 12 points on 5 of 10 shooting, 2 three-pointers, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists. He's running mate Kawhi Leonard had 18 points on 8 of 16 shooting, 1 three-pointers, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Just contribution right across the board. Mo Harkless, as the power forward, had 12 points on 6 of 7 shooting, very efficient. And also had 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steals, and 2 blocks. Ivica Zubac at center had 8 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 blocks in just 18 minutes. And Landry Shamet had 8 points on 3 of 8 shooting, with 2 three-pointers, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. Now, most of the scoring actually came from the bench with the Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell combo. Lou played 30 minutes, had 22 points on 7 of 16 shooting, had 3 three-pointers, was 5 of 5 from the line. Also chipped in with 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. Harrell had 23 points on 9 of 17 shooting, have 4 rebounds and 3 blocks. Jamichael Green also had a very good game. He double-doubled. He was the only player that double-doubled up for the Clippers, had 12 points and 11 rebounds, and also had 3 assists. And I think that's all the notable players from the LA Clippers side. Has there been any update on what Paul George's situation is?
You know, as far as I know, there has not. I'm really wondering what the situation was since he left the game so quickly. I mean, I know that they did end up blowing him out, but I think that it was hamstring related. So hopefully everything is okay as far as Paul George is concerned. But I'm assuming that since they knew that they were just going to end up, you know, just stomping on Detroit, they probably just went ahead and gave him the night off. So I guess just keep your eye out for any notes. I'm sure something will be developing before the next game. But yeah, outside of that, I think you pretty much nailed it right on the head. We know who their bench scoring is. Lou and Montrez, I mean, are two of the best bench scorers in the NBA. And the fact that they're on the same team is definitely unfair. And Jermichael Green, definitely a guy who, in my personal opinion, I think is going to find his way into the starting lineup over Mo Harkless, just because of they present very similar defensive versatility, and I think Green is just going to give you a little bit better rebounding rate, as we saw tonight. So that can definitely be valuable.
I think Jermichael Green is a underrated player. He's a veteran. He knows what he's out there to do. He will give you those production if he gets the minutes. So yeah, definitely monitor that situation, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, that will wrap it up for the league tonight. Big slate. think we covered it pretty well. In 2020, rolling off the right way. Chris, tell the people at HoopBall and all our amazing listeners where they can find you.
If you have any questions out there, you can send it our way on Twitter. You'll find me at CManUBC. CManUBC. Fire those questions my way, and I'll be happy to answer you. How about you, David? Where can they find you?
People can find me on Twitter at DFB_3. Hit me up with your questions and fantasy conundrums. I'm here to help, and I'll be up all night because I've been sipping on some sweet, sweet coffee. So there's never too late, never too early a time to get some fantasy basketball analysis in. So holler at me. And on that note, we appreciate it to all of our incredible listeners and the HoopBall Army out there. Thank you so much. Tune in to us next week. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, everybody.
Have a good night.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.